shall take good care of thee. Please do not hurt me. And Father Sky says, thou take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. And all living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawatakwasin, to all of our relations.
We all know. secrets, and lessons of life as well as past. It is time for us to conduct ourselves properly in accordance to the ancient ways that have been entrusted to us. We preserve our strength for words, our souls, and our days. We share our love for it.
Seventh Generation, a song by Haudenosaunee singer-songwriter Howard Lyons from his Sound of America recording CD entitled Spirit Walk. Ashkwe, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices on Radio for Peace International. RFPI is Global Community Radio. In today's Wolf Mountain program, we are very honored to share a visit with one of the finest Native writers, educator, and scholar activist in Indian country, Professor Gabe Horn. In addition to serving on Yat Kiddushi Native Center's Advisory Council, Gabe is a close personal friend to Betty and I. We are brothers in spirit and brothers in honoring Mother Earth and our indigenous movement. We first met 10 years ago, while both of us were speakers at a Native conference focusing on the true history and legacy of Christopher Columbus during the so-called Columbus Quincentenary. Over the years, our hearts grow strong together, sharing ceremony and working together on projects to defend Sacred Mother Earth, for Native rights, and for social justice. Gabe Horn and I also share a similar history of experiences growing up in the India movement, which makes me proud of him as a brother warrior. Listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio have heard me praise his fine book, Native Heart, an American Indian Odyssey, published by New World Library. I again urge everyone who cares about the Native struggle and who wishes an insight into what many fine AIM brothers and sisters went through, read Gabe's book, Native Heart. Professor Horn is a nationally known writer. In addition to Native Heart, Gabe wrote a four-book Native People, Native Ways series entitled the Native American Book of Wisdom, Book of Life, Book of Change, and Book of Knowledge. These are excellent writings for all ages, published by Beyond Words Press. Professor Horn authored the fine book, Contemplations of a Primal Mind, published by the University of Florida Press. Listeners to our Wolf Mountain broadcasts have also heard the 8-program series audio literature presentation of the book, Wisdom Keepers, Meetings with Native American Spiritual Elders, by authors Harvey Arden and Steve Wall. That beautiful book, published by Beyond Words Press, was edited by our program guest, my brother Gabe Horn. Last but certainly not least, Gabe's latest work, The Book of Ceremonies, A Native Way of Honoring and Living the Sacred, is a very special and precious literature, published by New World Library. The beautiful illustrations in this Book of Ceremonies was drawn by his very talented artist son, Carissus Horn. As a special treat for our listeners to honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, my brother Gabe Horn gifted us a newly released CD that features excerpts from his Book of Ceremonies, which he also gave me permission to include in our interview and air on Radio for Peace International. This beautiful CD includes selections read by the author, Gabe Horn, accompanied by music from our friend, Dennis Harrison. Listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio have also heard the beautiful song, Free Peltier, written by Dennis, from the Songs for Justice Project CD, which Betty and I are proud to be a part of, along with Gabe Horn, Ted Williams, and Diana Osborne. We will share that special Free Peltier song later on during the interview with my brother, Gabe Horn. As an honor to Gabe and his fine family, we will first hear the beautiful selection of his Book of Ceremonies CD entitled Prayer Flute. Then we continue my interview with my brother Warrior in part 5 of our special series, Native Heart, A Conversation with Gabe Horn. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, on Radio for Peace International. RFPI is Global Community Radio. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kanawantakwasin.
Thank you.
subject of concern and interest that we've talked to each other about before that I think listeners to this program will appreciate, hopefully, and I want our listeners to be reminded that I'm speaking English, and so I will apologize if my terminology and phrases offends anybody in this question, which I don't mean to, but it is a serious concern of mine, and I say this humbly because in many ways, even though I'm so-called middle-aged, I consider myself in other ways to be a young Native person. In our cultural history, many of the speakers, many of the wisdom keepers, the elders, really would be the ones to talk on these matters, and really, in many ways, one wouldn't talk or represent things culturally until much of their hair was white, that they lived many winters, and I'm still a young person in this way, a lot to learn, and but the basic subject or question that I'm going to raise now to my friend, my brother, my colleague, my guest today on Wolf Mountain Radio is what I consider to be the fine line with how we as Native people in the world try to share our cultural, spiritual philosophies, as it's called in English, our way of life, whose values and principles and actions are earth-based for the well-being of our life. How do we share our songs and our ceremonies and our attitudes with what in English is called the non-Indian people, especially the Euro-Americans or white people? I am concerned that some of our sacred ways, like the Great Plains people who have what is called a sweat lodge in English, our pipe ceremonies, our vision quests, our naming ceremonies, many other special and sacred understandings of our relation in the great mystery can be misused if not respected. And also our listeners need to understand that many of our teachings and learnings take a whole lifetime of experience and upbringing in a specific clan that you're raised from a very young person to observe and to learn about the laws and the philosophies and concepts of our people on different subjects. And as a Wolf clan, for example, there are certain things that I was brought up to learn, but there are other knowledges, other wisdoms, other ceremonies from other clans that I don't know about because it's a different clan, and it would take maybe 20, 30 years to be brought up in that other ceremony way of life to learn these things. And so my concern is that in the so-called new age with some of the young people or white people out there who I think many are very sincere and who feel deep down in their heart that there is a great sickness going on in the world, not just the physical sickness or the pollution, but also the sickness of the mind, the sickness of the heart, that their own culture, their own people, the so-called right way of life, the Western world, is a poison, is a cancer, and is not a good way of life. And so they are searching different beliefs and trying to learn from quote Indian people. And I think in many ways that's good, and even a lot of our ancient prophecies talk about a time when the descendants of those destroyers of our sacred places, that the seventh generation of the white people that came across the waters here, that their young people would sometime come to the native people to try to learn our ways and to appreciate us. And so some of this is occurring. Same time, we also have problems of some of our own people, as well as non-Native people, selling our sacred ceremonies, selling pipe ceremonies, selling sweat lodges, doing a number of activities that they're not authorized or qualified to do, but unfortunately are doing it because of that great sickness called money. Gabe, what I'm going to ask you to talk about is, on a personal level perhaps, how can we continue our custom of sharing and caring and generosity with what I call the newcomers, the white people, so that they will begin to grow their heart in a good way and change, but at the same time safeguard some of these sacred ceremonies and knowledges? Because if things aren't done in a good way, not only is that a disrespect to our native people and our culture and traditions, but it can also bring harm to those who
don't have the proper training and understanding. I hope you understand my question.
Oh, yeah. This is like, this is a big one. I know that it's been said that now they've taken this, they've taken that, now they're taking our spirituality. Well, no one's going to take my spirituality. And a couple of things came to my mind when you were speaking. Not far from me, right down the road, as a matter of fact, off in the woods, there's a little house, and the professor lives, and his wife was seemed to be very interested in Native American philosophy. I'll never forget, we were driving as a family up to the store or something, and we saw a sign on the side of the road that said Sweat Lodge, and it had arrows, you know, on the other side of the road advertising the Sweat Lodge. You know, we just laughed, you know, we don't know what to think of it, you know, it seems totally sacrilegious, and on the other hand, you don't know what's going on. Maybe it's a good thing that they're going back, I don't know. It gets really confusing, and I feel this way about it, I guess. It does bother me, because I know that sometimes we've had to pay the price, and our people have had to pay the price for those things. Had to be shaken down for, arrested for carrying sage or sweetgrass, or have our bundles taken and ripped open and thrown against the car along with our bodies or something like that. So some of us know firsthand the price that we've had to pay for that, and the price that we do have to pay for that. Those things represent a way of life, and it's how we live. And it's like, you know, a person who goes to church on Sunday, or confession on Saturday and church on Sunday, and then goes and lives the life they've been living all along, ripping off whoever he can for whatever money they can get, or doing whatever they want to do, going to church on Sunday. So it's kind of like, I can live whatever life I want to live. I'm going to continue to live this life, but I'm going to go to a sweat lodge and purify myself. So we can live, either Indian or anybody else, live that way. The thing is that, and then not too far from here, there was one person of Indian descent was having a Sundance with a potluck going on one weekend up north in one of the communities not far from here. Yeah, I said Sundance and a potluck for the weekend. And you don't want to cringe, you know, because I'm holding feathers, you know, in my hand when I find this is going on, given to me, passed on to me by someone who danced 4 years, you know, after being pierced those years, and went through what he went through. I'm holding those feathers in my hand, and now people are getting the idea of Sundance, potluck, oh, it sounds good, you know, and I think it made me want to scream, made me want to go up, and, you know, I had this picture of when Christ went into the temple and started knocking over all the and here I go making biblical reference, but he started knocking over all the tables and everything, because what they were doing to the temples, it really pissed him off. I felt like doing that, but that wasn't within my vision to do that. It's not within, I don't feel comfortable. There was a time when I heard these, what are the hobbyists, singing the AIM song on a drum. I went up to them and I said, do you know what song you're singing? No, we got this recording, and they were singing. And I said, well, and I had just come from teaching in the AIM schools for a number of years, and I said, do you know what I was taught is, you know, you to put some tobacco down and make that sacrifice with the plant, with your prayers, and then you draw blood, your own blood, for the blood that's been shed by the people. And they looked at me like they hated me for telling them that. But at that point, I wasn't going to let them continue, because that was directly connected to where I just came from. So there was a point where I did stand up, and a point where I let the sweat lodge go. And you know what? They don't have it anymore, you know. Or if they do, they don't, certainly don't advertise it on the street, and whatever happened to them, I have no idea. And they don't have the Sundance potluck anymore. And sometimes these things come and go, and sometimes I've seen pipes, you know, all lined up and price tags on them, and everything sometimes goes crazy in my mind, and I don't know what to do, except that I gotta go. Each time we face things, at that moment we take each individual situation, as far as giving things away, you know, well, shoot, you know, I could be doing that in my books, but whatever I'm doing in my books is nothing that I haven't been taught. That isn't nothing that hasn't been written about already. It's just my voice doing it in through my time. And people say, well, you're exploiting too. After all, ain't you making money off those books? Well, not really, but in any case, the idea is maybe that I can support in some way some food for my family someday as a result of it. I don't know. That would be a nice exchange, but it hasn't happened yet. Well, not to any large extent. So I think that, well, am I doing that? And then I go back to my vision and what my vision taught me about the word and how to use the word. And so is it in line with my vision? So is it in line with my vision to go up and confront somebody who's you know, giving a sweat lodge and charging $250 a week to do that? And what about the people who pay to go do that? I don't know. If you think you can pay for something like that, I don't know what to say. I think that if you're on the path, if you're truly, your heart's on that path, some way you'll find the way. You'll find the source. You'll find what's true to your heart. And if you're not, you're going to keep going to these things and doing whatever they do and finding out whatever you find out. I just don't feel comfortable. I feel bad about it. And sometimes I'll stand up like that day when the hobbyist and stop something from going on. And sometimes I won't. But it's tough. And what about those people, those children? I don't know. I don't know. We were talking earlier, and you were talking about, you know, how every race had original instruction, and each one had a gift to bring into this circle, and that made this circle whole. But so many have forgotten the original instructions. And if you live, you know, if I lived in Africa, I'd have to know their beliefs, because those are the beliefs that worked in that part of the world. And I have a feeling that if those beliefs worked in that part of the world, they'd probably go along with my beliefs too, about the earth and about life and respect for life and things like that. So maybe there is something universal about the old ways. As far as, was Quanah Parker's mother a part of the people? Was Chief Joseph's parent a part of the people? Were John Ross's a part of the people? Were my uncles, were our parents who were mixed blood maybe, were they part of the people? Were they, you know, at what point did we draw lines and say that because of the color of your skin? You know, I had this situation that I wrote about in Native Heart that I think says it best. We were having a pipe ceremony. And there were different people of Lakota, Sisseton, Anishinaabe. And it was before a big powwow gathering that weekend. One of the people who had accompanied some of the Indians was a nun. She asked if she could participate in a ceremony. Now, I wrote about this in Native Heart, and I'll try to make it short here. There were a lot of little kids around, and I thought that her job should be maybe to offer to help take care of the little kids who may not be able to stay up for a ceremony, or maybe whiny, or, you know, maybe take care of them so that the mothers and fathers can participate in the ceremony. And maybe she could contribute in her way by taking care of the kids, or by doing things that would help the people so that they can have their ceremony. But she insisted on being a part of that ceremony. And here I was with this pipe, and being told that, you know, the concept you pray with this pipe is of the mystery, is of the totality of all things, of everything in creation is one, and not to God, a concept that was removed, which is a generic name anyway. But in any case, she said that she could do it, that she could pray to the great mystery. And I said, well, you see, that's the only concept we pray to with this pipe, Wakam Tonkam, Kichimanidu, not Jehovah, okay? And she said she could do it. She insisted she could do it. Well, she got into the ceremony that night, because I was put in a situation, and she got into the ceremony that night. When it came time to it, the pipe had come to her, she couldn't do it. She had lost herself at that moment, and said, held the pipe and said, I can't do it. I can't do it. You're asking me to give up my God. And at that moment, everything exploded. The dogs barked all over the neighborhood. The baby started crying. It was like that wheel that we had created, that circle of harmony, was just totally disrupted, and everything went crazy. And she said, the pipe is out. The pipe is out. And nothing, if I had forbid her to be in that ceremony because she was a nun, what would have told the people? But by her coming in, it was a moment, by her coming in and saying that she could not pray, she had to say Father, she had to assign a male being to the first cause of all that is, she couldn't break away from that. That's what I mean, is that some people can't do it, and that's okay. Then their religion is good for them, and that's where they should stay. And so I think in the end, it all comes out in the end, brother. I think it all bows, and I think that if you seek your vision, and you have your vision, and you follow that vision, whatever that vision guides you to do, you do. I don't know if your vision guides you to go around and tell people they can't do this and they can't do that and what's right and what's wrong. If that then that has to be respected. If that's your vision, telling you to do that, that's not mine. And so I wonder, you know, if people can say that about me too. And people have said that about me. But I can't concern myself really about that. Do you know that after my wife died, you know, she knew she had cancer. So she has cancer, and she went to her dreams, and she went into herself, how to deal with this. And we talked about it, and of course I shared my feelings on how she should deal with it. But in the end, it was her choice what to do. After she died, my students brought to me something they had gotten off of the internet or gotten off of their computers, something that was printed about me. And what was printed about me was this, it was said that I really killed my wife, that I was responsible for her death because I forced her to take the Indian traditional ways and not go the Western ways, which is a total BS anyway. But to have something like that, my students were holding this, they got it off the internet, and there was another one that followed it up saying more directly that I killed her and everything. Oh my gosh, it was horror stricken that anybody could even think like that. But what my point is that if we let fear of what people are going to say about us dictate our lives, then we're not living. You know, I do what I do because I feel it in my heart to do it, and I think it's the right thing to do. And I always go back to my vision and feel that if it's in accordance with my vision, then it's all right. Do we sell it? What about the people who sell things and weekends? And I don't know. I wouldn't do it. But then people say to me, well, you charge so much money to go speak to audiences, and you talk to, you know. So if they equate that, you know, if they're equating giving a lecture about philosophy and about respecting the environment and respecting life to taking somebody into a sacred sweat lodge and accepting money, then that's their mentality. There's nothing I can do about that. I know what I'm doing, and I know that's something different. And again, I go back to my vision. So will there be those white people who can participate in sweat lodges and things like that? Of course I imagine there would be, and there will be. It's like there will be black people and yellow people to do the same thing. I believe that they're going to be the exception, and I believe that they always were, and that our people always did embrace these kinds of people because they were of the people when you get down to it.
Inamaka Hawaii.
Sincerely, thank you for being on the program today. Listening to you on Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices is a very special spirit that we share. As we conclude our interview, would you please share with our listeners a little bit of background about the Songs for Justice Project, how that very beautiful song, Free Palantir, came into being. And I think that's a wonderful way of concluding our fine conversation.
The Songs for Justice Project? Well, I think we came together around the dream of a brother friend, Dennis Harrison, and it started because he was compelled to compose a song to free Leonard Peltier. I remember going to the studio with him for the first time to record that song. We were sitting, we had sweetgrass to booth to purify ourselves and our thoughts, and of course try to let our ego just fall away from ourselves and knowing why we were there, because a brother is in prison and deserves to be free. I remember that what we felt when we sang that song. We both saw the same things. We both saw visions of our people. All through, I saw the song spreading all across the land, and like a ghost dance almost. And when we were done and listened to the song in the studio, we heard all these other voices singing in the background. And even the producer said, "Wow, where did they come from?" So that's where it began. It began with that kind of spirituality, you know. And music is such a medium. And I played the song "Free Palantir" to my students, and now these are college students, and man, they dug it. And so I thought, wow, that's an audience that we can reach and educate through music. And then there are other songs that Dennis has written and composed, and they're very powerful. And I want to be there to support him and to support my other brothers and sisters who are a part of it, because I think through the music, it's just another way of putting out into the mystery what we know to be good.
I've always known my grandpa to be a brother. Every week, I go and visit him. When we visit, he laughs and jokes around. We always eat from the prison vending machines, but it is hard for him to eat because he cannot chew because the prison did not give him very good health care. I know it hurts him a lot, but he doesn't like to complain or show his pain. When he gets out of prison, I would like to have a horse ranch in the house where he can paint. So please, President Clinton, let me back out of prison.
Free Palantir, free Palantir, free Palantir. yeah. The FBI lies, and the witnesses they threaten, and the truth they still hide. You can't imprison a warrior for fighting for his people. You can't jail a man for protecting Mother Earth. America, for yourself, of your own hatred and fear. America, he helps you. America, he helps you. He said the only way to kill an Indian star was to put him in prison, locked away in the dark. Well, after 24 years, he's still here. His love for his people is the power of his prayer. You can't imprison a warrior for fighting for his people. You can't jail a man for protecting Mother Earth. America, for yourself, of your hatred and fear. America, we help you. America, we help you. You can hear it in the thunder of the coming storm, and the beating of our hearts. And our love's so strong, you can feel it in the wind that carries our prayer, and in the sound of our drum. Free will here, 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 free will here.
Sungu Odisa, creator of this divine and harmonious universe. Is it mighty down to 20 what cave? Is Kunika Onik what shrotters? Is it mighty down to 20 you twin? Oh, Sungu Odisa, creator of this divine and harmonious universe. Is it mighty down to 20 what cave? Is Kunika Onik what shrotters? Is it natty down to twang, you twang? We got the swaggy, you used to twang, and what get your quah natty, going to go toss net, won't net, net, I went to. Hey, we ask of you to come together with all of our brothers and sisters in this divine and harmonious universe to put a loving and harmonious touch to everything that we have in this universe, and to help to free Leonard Peltier, and to give to us your love and your healing, your understanding, your wisdom, your grace, your balance, your purification ceremony in our life, energy, divine consciousness. Dikari what not yet. And that means that this prayer goes on forever.
You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices on Radio for Peace International. RFPI is Global Community Radio. Yatkidichi Native Center, producers of Wolf Mountain Radio, welcomes your comments about our programs. Listeners may write to us at Wolf Mountain Radio, care of Yatkidichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Radio for Peace International is truly global community radio. Many listeners to our Wolf Mountain programs also know that we have the honor to be a member of RFPI's International Board of Advisors, and that we have the honor to volunteer several months each year at RFPI's studio in Costa Rica. We mention this because Wolf Mountain Radio wants all our listeners to know how special and unique RFPI truly is. As global community radio, they depend upon listeners' financial support to remain on the air. In truth, it is a financial struggle every month to keep this station going. This is why we are asking everyone to become a member of Friends of Radio for Peace International. Annual memberships are only a mere $40 U.S. a year. Every member receives the excellent RFPI newsletter Vista and the knowledge that you are helping to keep RFPI on the air. By financially supporting RFPI, you are helping to promote world peace, social justice, human rights, protection of the environment, and enabling many cultural voices who often do not have a way to be heard. In addition to becoming a member of RFPI, please consider making any financial donation to the station, no matter how large or small. Any dollar amount will be greatly appreciated. Financial contributions can be given in installments. Contributions each month can really help Radio for Peace International. Yad Girichi Native Center sincerely thanks you.
Dear friends, we are nearing the end of our time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Radio. We hope you enjoyed our five-part interview series, Native Heart, A Conversation with Gabe Horn. It was a special honor for me, and I thank my warrior brother also for gifting us permission to play excerpts from his Book of Ceremonies CD, which also featured our friend Dennis Harrison, the coordinator of the Songs for Justice project that Betty and I are proud to be a part of. In today's program, we heard Dennis play the song Prayer Flute from the Book of Ceremonies CD. Listeners can order the free Pelletier Song CD, the Book of Ceremonies CD, and other beautiful music from the Songs for Justice project by the email address whitewolfwhitedeer@yahoo.com. We again encourage everyone to read all of Gabe's fine Native literature, Native Heart, Contemplations of a Primal Mind, the four-book Native People and Native Ways series entitled The Native American Book of Wisdom, Book of Life, Book of Change, Book of Knowledge, and Gabe Horn's The Book of Ceremonies, A Native Way of Honoring and Living the Sacred. Please check out your bookstore for these important and wonderful writings. We conclude our program series with the song entitled Still Strong, from American Indian Movement warrior Dennis Banks, who gifted us a cassette of his music when he spoke at a Bring Pelletier Home campaign event in Southwest Florida that we here at Yad Girichi Native Center and the Independent Traditional Seminole Nation hosted a few years ago. Until the next Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, this is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
And so I say to America, I want you to remember our past. This past will give you direction for the future. Just as our people in our past, we are the spirit of the future. The spirit of this land lies rooted in the history of Native people. The massacres that happened to us, the army that came, took our land and killed our people, did not destroy our vision for a strong future. We are still strong, America. We never weaken. Like the unit, a kingdom. We are still strong. Like the spirit of Geronimo, we are still strong. Like the spirit of Crazy Horse, we are still strong. America, we are strong people. Like the spirit of Peltier, we are strong today. As we were thousands of years ago, the pages of history, we are strong. We were born strong. Our spirit is strong. We are still strong. We are still strong, America. Look about you and look at the Anishinaabe people. Look at the Lakota people and the Dene people. Pushed around again in this century, pushed off our land, trying to take yet what remaining area of land that we have left. But we will not lay down, America. We have never laid down in the face of struggle. We shall never abandon our past, nor shall we ever abandon the spirit of our people. Like the spirit of Chief Joseph, we are still strong. And the spirit of Geronimo, we are still strong. And the spirit of Crazy Horse, we are still strong. And all those who went before us, knowing that the seventh generation down the road would remember them. We are still strong, America. We are still strong, Anishinaabe people. And when we look at the Zach and Fox and the Winnebago, north to the Eskimos, south to the Cheyenne, and to the Arapaho, and to the Tulalip, with the Ojibwe people, we are strong. And I want every book about Native people to be truthful, to tell the truth of what our people did, to tell the truth of who we were, and that we never laid down. And I want the history books to remember us as being a strong people. We are strong. Mother Earth gives us that strength. Our grandmother, the moon, gives us that strength. Our oldest brother, the sun, gives us that strength. The forest, the deer, the buffalo, and the elk give us that strength. The wind thing, the eagle, the hawk, the owl give us that strength. And as I look about this world in four directions, I see the many colors of humankind. I see the many colors of people. And that's what makes us strong. That's what we believe in. That's our love. We are still strong. And the spirit of our people. And the spirit of our ancestors. Gone long ago. We are still strong. And just like an eagle flying high, a reminder to the floor directors that we were born strong, we are strong, and when we leave this world to go to the spirit world, we will leave behind a culture and a tradition for the seventh generation. when you leave them the stories and songs of our people, of our struggle, of our ceremonies, and of our women. And when we leave them, we will know that they will be strong, still strong.
This is Ones again of Wolf Mountain Native Radio. I want to again express our sincere appreciation to all of our worldwide listeners. We really enjoy the emails and letters. I want to make it clear that if you want to contact Yat Kiddushi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio, you can do so by not only writing us at Yat Kiddushi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120 USA, but also our email is yatkiddushi@earthlink.net. Once again, our email address is yatkiddushie@earthlink.net. And we will soon be having a new Yat Kiddushi Native Center website. I wanted to also mention earlier in the broadcast, I made a plea for our listeners to help financially support in any way you can Radio for Peace International. RFPI is Global Community Radio, and we are very honored and proud and privileged to volunteer our time in support of the station and consider ourselves part of RFPI's family. They are also, like most community grassroots radio stations, on a shoestring budget. So if you have any extra funds, you can contact RFPI for a donation by writing to the RFPI U.S. Business Office, that is Radio for Peace International, P.O. Box 3165, Newburgh, Oregon, 97132, USA. Once again, if you want to financially help support RFPI to be on the air, which also keeps Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices on the air, you can write to RFPI P.O. Box 3165, Newburgh, that's N-E-W-B-U-R-G, Oregon, O-R-E-G-O-N, USA, zip code 97132. And of course, we also want to thank RadioForAll.net for the privilege of airing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices on their audio webcast. RFPI's mailing address in Costa Rica for any comments or thoughts, suggestions also is RFPI P.O. Box 75, Ciudad Colon, that's C-I-U-D-A-D, C-O-L-O-N, Costa Rica, Central America. And I'm sure station manager James Latham, my brother and my friend, would also appreciate hearing from you. Well, dear friends, I'm going to also mention that I've recently talked to Gabe and Amy Horn, and they are continuing to write more. And I know our sister Amy is completing a manuscript entitled My Father's Blood. And when that is complete, you'll be the first to hear about that wonderful text. And I don't know the name of Gabe's new book that he is co-authoring with Amy, but I'm sure it will be very special. So please continue listening to Wolf Mountain Native Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices on Radio for Peace International and Radio for All.net. Aho, kinawa takwasin to all of our relations.